This is Dr. Larry Wilson, and this tape is about alcoholism. Specifically, we will discuss what is alcoholism, biochemically, what goes on, why is it a problem, why is alcohol addictive in a biochemical sense, and then we'll talk about correction from specifically biochemistry and nutrition, because this is an area that is totally ignored by the medical profession, except perhaps to tell alcoholics they need to eat well, but this is not enough. And yet, it is a very important area if one wishes to overcome and prevent alcoholism. Let's begin with a sort of picture of alcoholism. People who become alcoholic are known to be bright, sensitive, creative people. Often they do not handle reality well for those reasons. They are very aware people, very tuned in, and they don't like a lot of things they see, and they become angry. And they use alcohol as a way to dull their senses, to lower their consciousness, you might say, to reduce their stress. And so this is important to realize, that alcoholics are very often very gifted people. And yet, alcohol will tear them apart, and it causes tremendous waste of talent and even of life. Now, what is the basic concept of alcoholism? It is actually the replacement of the normal fuel for the body with an alternative fuel. We talk about alternative fuels for cars. This is an alternative fuel for humans. The body will run on alcohol. Alcohol is a very high energy fuel. Actually, racing cars, they drive them on pure alcohol. Ethanol is added to the gasoline in many parts of the country. In Brazil, all the cars run on alcohol. They just made a decision, and they have a lot of trees to cut down and process or agricultural products, so they have a lot of alcohol, and they run the cars on alcohol. So alcohol is a fuel, and in a small quantity of it can be handled and causes certain effects. It can cause a certain rush, and it can followed often by a kind of a mellow feeling. And the body can handle a little bit, at least most bodies can. In larger quantity, however, it completely deranges the body's fuel system, and it makes the body dependent on alcohol as a fuel. In other words, after a while of using this stuff, the body can no longer handle the regular fuel, which are fats and carbohydrates, sugars, starches, fats, and oils. And as a result, the person feels terrible, and alcohol satisfies the need for fuel, for energy, and the addiction grows worse. And this is the essence of the addiction, that one becomes unable to burn like regular fuel. A technical name that occurs is hypoglycemia. This means low blood sugar, but it's more complicated than that, because what happens is the alcohol slowly depletes minerals that are critical for the fuel system. Zinc and magnesium are among them. B vitamins are among them. Certain amino acids like glutamine. And then the body doesn't run right on just regular old food, and so the alcohol seems to be needed. Now, another reason people become addicted to alcohol is because alcohol contains a substance that is only found in alcohol and fats. The substance is called acetates. And acetates are high energy molecules. That is, they're very energy rich molecules. And they will give people a lift. And one can be craving acetates. And there is a body chemistry type, which we call the fast oxidizer, who absolutely require acetates, or at least they do much better when they get them in their diet. And if they don't eat fat in particular, they don't get them. But they can be very attracted to alcohol because this is the only other source of acetates. Now, another reason for the addiction of alcohol is that alcohol itself and the body doing its best to process the alcohol and eliminate it uses up a lot of vitamins and minerals that make a person feel well, that make a person feel well just on your own. So what happens is, as one drinks more, the vitamins and minerals become more depleted, and one does not feel well. And then one craves more substance, more of a substance or something, to make one feel well. And alcohol, of course, fulfills that purpose in a temporary way. So another problem and a reason for the addiction is simply the depletion of vitamins and minerals. It is well known that all alcoholics eat poorly because the alcohol is a fuel and it substitutes for food. And generally speaking, people who are alcoholic eat very poorly, and so they become depleted. Now, another reason for the addiction to alcohol is rather obvious, which is that it dulls the senses, it dulls the brain, and one gets temporary relief from stress. Temporary relief, because it doesn't deal with the problem. It does not deal with the cause of the stress of any kind, or negative thoughts, or feelings that one does not like. It just dulls them. Now, what happens is that when the alcohol wears off, the negative emotions or feelings come back even stronger. The reason they come back even stronger is because first, nothing has been done to deal with them, such as counseling or other techniques to help for these feelings, but also because the body has become more depleted in nutrients, and the body is therefore more sick, it's more ill, and therefore the body itself, the cells themselves, send messages that all is not well, and that in fact things are not well at all. And so one gets more messages like this, and one seems to have a greater need to escape and to get rid of the feelings, and so there is this desire for more alcohol. And a final reason for addiction, for the addiction, is that there is a certain high off of the alcohol fuel. It's a very fast-burning fuel, and it's like pouring gasoline on a fire, and some people are very taken with this feeling. And of course, when it wears off, there's a low that follows that is not pleasant at all. And so people crave the high. So these are some of the reasons for the addiction. Now, there are more subtle biochemical reasons that we'll talk about a little later, but these are some of the reasons. And what I'm trying to do here is paint a picture of what's going on. Who gets to be an alcoholic? Why is the alcohol a problem? Namely, that it's an alternative fuel. And why is it so addictive? Because if you underestimate the power of alcohol, if you underestimate how difficult it is, you will often fail in getting rid of the problem. You want to take into account why this is a powerful kind of situation and not underestimate it, that's all. We don't want to be afraid of it. It's not anything to be afraid of. And in fact, many people are helped. Alcoholics Anonymous helps many. And if they paid attention to nutrition, we know from studies that they would help many, many, many more people. Because they don't help nutrition, there are many people running around who are what you might call dry drunks. These are people who have stopped drinking, but their chemistry is way out of balance. Their chemicals are out of balance because they haven't corrected that. And so they're still craving alcohol, and they're still dealing with negative feelings and a lot of other behavior problems. And so either they become addicted to something else like cigarettes and sugar, or they have to keep going to meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, because that's the only way they can stay off the alcohol. We say that that is not necessary if you clear up the nutritional imbalances that we'll talk about. Then you'll be free. And the goal is always to be free. Okay, correction. Let's talk about the process of correction of alcoholism. And there are many levels at which one can work. And the best approach to actually any condition, but in particular alcoholism, is to work on many levels at once. That's how to get the best results. Work on many levels at once. So what would these be? Well, there can be simple lifestyle issues. Anything that makes you strong will help you with alcoholism. Whereas any habit or substance or activity that weakens you or wears you out or wears you down will make you more prone to alcoholism. So there are simple things that help us to be strong and healthy. One of them is getting enough rest and sleep. There's no substitute for that. And people who are pushing themselves very hard and not resting are going to be more prone to the emotions, the negativity, and the anger, and they will be more prone to try to get rid of it through the use of alcohol. So one's basic living habits, to live a kind of quiet life with regular habits, plenty of rest, and of course regular meals, good relationships, this is very helpful. Now another area is the emotions and the thoughts. Everyone has negative thoughts and negative emotions and anger and fear at times. And there are many responses to this. The alcoholic typically uses alcohol to deny them, to simply dull oneself so one does not feel these things. This is not the best approach. It just leads to problems. But if one is busy and one doesn't feel like dealing with issues, then it is a common response. So there are many therapies that can help a person to become aware of and deal with thoughts and emotions and attitudes that are unhealthy. And these methods range from simple counseling, psychotherapy, to many kinds of holistic health practices, whether it's going to chiropractors or acupuncturists or body workers, whether it's meditation, which can be wonderful, or other what you might call spiritual practices, such as prayer and things like this, that help a person to deal positively with their issues. Reading inspiring books, watching inspiring movies, listening to inspiring tapes. These things can all help one to understand and to deal better with one's emotional issues. We highly recommend something called A Course in Miracles or some tapes from a place called the Shanti Cristo Foundation that are similar in nature and that were supposedly given by Jesus. And they're beautiful and they're wonderful. And they explain the reality of life, which is that you are loved. You are totally loved and everything is fine. And you don't need to escape. And if you're having negative thoughts, it's usually something that was put in your head by other people. And it's okay. You don't have to escape them. You can learn to observe your thoughts. This is where meditation process can be very excellent, and we have a tape available. It's a meditation exercise. It's very simple on a cassette tape. And you simply put it in a cassette machine and listen and do what it says so that you don't have to read a lot. And the tape helps you to stay focused on the exercise. And it helps one to observe. The purpose of the meditation is to help you observe yourself and your mind. And there's a principle that awareness brings its own action. In other words, as you become more and more emotionally detached and able to observe, you will function better and better. You will no longer be swept up in thoughts and feelings and the need to escape and all this. You'll just be able to watch, sort of like a third person watching you and saying, oh, that's interesting and that's interesting and look what this person's going through. But there won't be that need to do something about it. You will not have the need to do something about it. You can also learn better things to do about it rather than alcohol. Those things may be to take a nap, or to take a bath, or to take a walk. There can be many things. But there are ways to substitute better behaviors for less healthful behaviors. The other aspect of the spiritual development, we might call it, in order to overcome alcoholism, and Alcoholics Anonymous, of course, makes use of these spiritual principles to some degree, certainly. They're very important for Alcoholics Anonymous, is to realize that there's much more to you than the body. We are not just bodies in space. That's not what's going on here. And there are books and tapes that can help one appreciate this, and that actually your physical body is just a little bit of you that's down here, and there's much more that lives in what might be called the spirit world or the unseen world. But it's real. And this too helps you not to get so caught up in your life and in events. And then finally, another level of working on alcoholism has to do with nutrition. And this is going to be the topic for the rest of this tape, or at least most of it. So let's move on and talk about nutrition. The first topic in nutrition will be general diet. General diet. Sounds like the name of a general, but no, it's just what one eats every day. It is well known that alcoholics are all malnourished. All alcoholics are malnourished. I'm going to read a statement from Dr. Roger Williams, who is a nutritional pioneer, a biochemist, quite well known from the University of Texas. And he says, "I will herewith positively assert that no one who follows good nutritional practices will ever become an alcoholic. No one who follows good nutritional practices will ever become an alcoholic." Now, why does he say that? And he says this is obvious. Because alcoholism and nutrition create a vicious cycle. When one becomes nutritionally depleted, the normal fuel system of the body stops working correctly. Your body has a fuel system, very much like your car. Just as the car has a fuel tank and a fuel pump and a fuel filter and fuel lines and all the rest, and all those things have to work correctly. They all have to work correctly, otherwise you don't get fuel into your engine and the car will not go or it goes poorly. The body is very similar. The body has a fuel system. And in the case of the body, it is very complex. It has to do with, you know, eating fuel foods, digesting them. They go to the liver, they get transformed, they go back into the blood, then they go to the cells, and in the cells they are burned. And the final product is something called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And this is actually the fuel molecule, the high-energy fuel molecule the body uses. And then this has to be converted to ADP. And in the process, energy is released, which can be used for every function. Now, what happens is, as you become nutritionally depleted, and many people are born this way, we would say most people are born this way today, due to nutritional deficiencies and toxic metals from the parents, specifically the mother, but both parents. So people are born deficient, or over years of eating mediocre quality food, which is all that's out there for the most part, people become nutritionally depleted, and the fuel system doesn't work. This not only causes negative feelings, because one is tired or out of sorts, the brain may not function perfectly, and so forth. The blood sugar gets low, and so forth. But it also causes a craving for an alternative fuel. And if one discovers alcohol, one gets a high off of this, a rush, and one realizes, wow, I can feel better than I do. I can feel better. And next thing you know, one is indulging in alcohol. Now, the reason it's a vicious cycle with the nutrition is because the alcohol then depletes nutrients even faster. It is well known that alcohol lowers zinc, magnesium, B vitamins, even vitamin C, vitamin E, and one particular amino acid seems to be very important, glutamine, L-glutamine. And the alcohol causes further nutritional depletion. Just processing the alcohol causes depletion. Also, what happens is the alcohol provides a fuel, and therefore many people who are drinking do not feel hungry. So they don't eat very well. And therefore, they get more nutritionally depleted. Also, one of the nutrients that alcohol depletes is zinc. And when zinc is depleted, one's sense of taste and smell, which both of them are very important for food, taste and smell. When the zinc is depleted, the sense of taste and smell diminishes somewhat, and one's appetite decreases. One's appetite for food decreases. And so here's another reason why there's a vicious cycle set up where poor nutrition and alcohol reinforce each other, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And most of the diseases associated with alcoholism, cirrhosis of the liver, killing of brain cells, heart disease, hardening of arteries, these things have to do with nutrition. These things have to do with nutritional depletion. So what does this mean? It means that the first order of business, if you want to avoid and if you want to correct an alcohol problem, is to eat excellently. And do not accept any reasons or substitutes or excuses for not eating. Eat excellently. Now that means, let's be very specific, it means eat 3 meals a day, not 2, not 1.5, not sometimes. Eat 3 meals a day, what they used to call 3 square meals a day. And specifically, all those meals should have some protein food. Protein is meats, eggs, fish, chicken, turkey, nuts, nut butters, cheese. Those are proteins. Beans are also some protein. Not as recommended. So the meals, each meal, you say, what's my protein? What's my protein? Another food group is vegetables. And the vegetables should not be ignored. Doesn't matter if you like them or not, just put them in. Have them in soups. If you want. Some salad is okay, but actually the cooked vegetables are very helpful because the cooking breaks down the fiber and the minerals are more available. Also, the cooking concentrates the minerals. If you've ever seen what happens when you cook spinach, for example, you have a whole pile of it and you put it in the pot, and in about 5 minutes, you just have a tiny little amount of cooked spinach. Well, the minerals are all still there, so you get all those minerals. They are not affected by cooking. Some of the vitamins, yes, are somewhat affected, a few. But the B vitamins are not, and the minerals are not. And so cooking actually concentrates the food and allows you to eat more minerals in particular, and therefore is good. So we say cooked vegetables, say with 2 meals a day, and not just one, but preferably several vegetables cooked together, say 2 or 3. 3 would be best, cooked together. Another food group that is very important, especially for some people, and we have to be general here because without a mineral analysis, a tissue mineral analysis, a hair tissue mineral analysis, we cannot say exactly the foods, the specific foods that each person needs. But some people need fat and oil in their diet. And fats and oils, particularly for alcoholics, are very important. Why? Because the fat contains acetates. And the acetate is a high-energy molecule, and the alcoholics need it. So another food group that's important is fats and oils, in addition to protein and vegetables. And then one may have some whole grains. Now, the refined grains are no good. They've taken out all the B vitamins there. They've often taken out zinc and magnesium, definitely they've taken out. So the refined grains, that's white flour, white sugar, white rice, these are not helpful foods. These are not helpful at all. All they do is create vitamin deficiencies, more vitamin deficiencies. The whole grain products. And we don't recommend wheat too much because it's a hybrid and it's often a little difficult to tolerate. But whole rye, quinoa, oats, whole brown rice. Blue corn is an excellent food, the blue corn chips. These are all very good. But not the white flour, white sugar, white rice. These are not quality foods. And then Because most all alcoholics have blood sugar imbalance, we recommend that you stay away from foods that tend to accentuate blood sugar problems. That is to say, what they cause is they cause the blood sugar to spike upward, to go up very quickly. And then the body secretes, it over-secretes insulin, and the blood sugar drops precipitously. And you end up on this roller coaster all day long, which often ends in happy hour. The way it works, the way blood sugar problems work, is that when you eat something sweet or have alcohol, the blood sugar goes up quickly, and then the body secretes insulin, and it drops the blood sugar. But over years of doing this to your body, where you eat the sweets, shoots up the blood sugar, and then the body has to fight it quickly to get the insulin in there to knock it down, what happens is the mechanism stops functioning correctly, and instead of knocking it down to normal, it knocks it down a little further. And that's called low blood sugar, or hypoglycemia. And when that happens, not only can one feel anxious, very confused, angry, upset, but the cravings for sweets can be very, very strong. And this is a typical day for most people. Most people, breakfast includes some sweet. It could be fruit or orange juice. The juices are very sweet, or apple juice. It could be a sugary cereal. Even a lot of milk is kind of sweet. So one who has a sweet at breakfast, the blood sugar goes shooting up. Then it begins to decline. And by 10:30 in the morning, 11 in the morning, the blood sugar is low. And that's when one wants a snack. It's snack time. One can become very sleepy or just hungry and confused. And so then one goes to a machine and gets some Coca-Cola loaded with sugar, or some candy or cookies or something else, even fruit. And then the blood sugar is back up. And it peaks, and then it starts to drop around noon or 1 o'clock, and that's lunchtime. And one begins to feel kind of groggy and irritable, perhaps, because you need lunch. Now, in one sense, you do need lunch. You know, your food is, you've used up your food. But in another sense, you don't need all this sugar and all these foods. Then one eats lunch, and the blood sugar rises again, and you're fine. Your aches and pains go away, and it lasts for a few hours until, but over lunch, people often have something sweet, whether it's, again, more juice or Coca-Cola or coffee with sugar, and or tea with sugar in it, or a lot of fruit, and the blood sugar goes up, and then it drops down again around 3:30, and one wants a little snack. And when the snack will pick you up, especially if it's got sugar in it, and then around 5:30, 6, the blood sugar drops again. And then it's time for happy hour. It's time for a drink. And this is life for many people. And this is the roller coaster, the blood sugar roller coaster that goes on and is a potent cause of alcoholic problems. This blood sugar roller coaster is typical of many, many people, especially those who eat sugar or carbohydrates, refined carbohydrates, or even excess carbohydrates in the diet, starches and sugars, refined starches and sugars in particular, including fruit and fruit juice. And it also is the case if one does not eat enough protein and fat, in some cases, to balance the blood sugar. And of course, some people, their blood sugar drops earlier in the day and they need a drink earlier in the day, but often one can get by until one begins to get really tired at the end of the day, and then the blood sugar really drops. And that's when you go for your alternative fuel, alcohol. So it's very important to understand the cycles of blood sugar and the fact that the fuel system is deranged. It shouldn't go through those swings. Your blood sugar should return to normal. But what happens is when you eat sugar and it shoots the blood sugar up, and then the body secretes insulin to drop the blood sugar, it often overcompensates, it overreacts, and that's when the blood sugar gets too low. And when it gets low, the cravings become intense, the cravings for fuel and for sugar, because the brain in particular is starving, and the cravings become quite intense. And it can cause anxiety, confusion, and many other things. So, that's an explanation of one of the aspects of the alcohol problem, which is how it relates to the fuel system of the body, and how when the fuel system doesn't work right and the body overcompensates and the blood sugar drops too low, that the cravings can be very strong at certain times of the day particularly. So what do you eat? Well, we said proteins, vegetables, fats, and oils for fast oxidizers. Whole grains, not wheat particularly. We don't consider that a good food, but the other whole grains, and less of the sugars, fruits, juices. Also, junk food, as a general rule, has always got sugar in it, and it's always got chemicals, and many of those chemicals are stimulants. Stimulants are depressants, and they also upset blood sugar and body chemistry in many ways. The poor quality foods, besides being deficient in vitamins and minerals, may contain oils that are rancid, which are stimulating chemicals such as MSG, NutraSweet, and many, many hundreds of others, additives. And these also have detrimental effects and also deplete nutrients. Now, good foods would include things like eggs, which are an excellent source of some B vitamins and some fat, and the mineral sulfur. Sulfur is needed for detoxification, because nutrients are not only needed for the fuel system of the body, the B vitamins and others, but they're needed to help remove toxic substances. And one of the minerals that helps with that process is sulfur. Sulfur is found in egg yolks. It's also found in the radish family, the cabbage family, which is cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and it's found in the onion family, onions, garlic, green onions, scallions, and so forth. So these foods are very important, the sulfur foods. Meats are an excellent source of zinc and B vitamins. And also, meats and eggs are sources of amino acids, which includes L-glutamine, one of the non-essential amino acids, but one that has been found to be very helpful for alcoholics, and in fact, in some experiments, causes a voluntary reduction in alcohol consumption in a double-blind study, meaning no one knew. The people who took it didn't know what it was, but they found themselves wanting less alcohol. It also, L-glutamine also seems to protect certain species from the effects of alcohol. So this is several grams a day of L-glutamine has been found to be helpful. Not glutamic acid, but glutamine. Another class of foods that are very excellent are nuts, because they have magnesium in them, and alcohol depletes magnesium. And there isn't too much that has a lot of magnesium. There aren't too many foods. The whole grains have some. But the nuts, pecans, walnuts, toasted almonds, cashews, hazelnuts, these are excellent foods. And they make good snacks, and you can use them as the protein of a meal. 8 or 9 or 10 nuts can be the protein content. Also sold is nut butter, almond butter, and even peanut butter, although we prefer the almond butter. So these are also excellent foods. Another group of foods that are excellent are things like goat dairy, goat cheese, goat milk, goat yogurt. Cow milk and cow's milk products are not as highly recommended because these are hybrids today, as is wheat, and they don't seem to work as well for people. But the goat cheese and goat products are excellent and very rich in a number of nutrients. Now, in addition to eating well, eating habits are important. It's important to have 3 square meals a day, as they say. 3 good meals a day. It's important to have them at about the same time each day, to have them sit-down meals, not eating in your car at 50 miles an hour, or standing in front of the refrigerator, or at a fast food restaurant, because there the quality isn't there. But
to have 3 good meals a day helps prevent malnutrition and will help replenish all the nutrients for the alcoholic. And to rest a little bit after the meal, which will help digestion, say even just 10 minutes. Just sit. Don't leave the table. To chew thoroughly, eat slowly, and be in a relaxed environment, a fairly quiet environment when you eat. Not a noisy restaurant or a street corner or something like that, but a quiet place. These are simple habits, but they make a large difference in how much good one gets out of food. Well, that's enough on diet. That's a basic, high-quality diet, and that will make a big difference in helping prevent and also correct alcoholism. The next topic is nutritional supplements. And we'll do several things here. There's some general supplements, and then I'll mention being very specific for each person. In general, anyone with an alcohol issue or tendency needs extra zinc and magnesium. These two minerals in particular are depleted by alcohol. Alcohol actually depletes them. And a deficiency of these minerals can predispose one to cravings for alcohol, because these two minerals in particular have a lot to do with the energy system of the body, the normal energy system, the regular fuel system. In addition, other minerals that have to do with sugar cravings or fuel cravings include manganese and chromium. And these are very commonly deficient in the population, just in the general population. Then the B-complex vitamins are also depleted by alcohol and are very important for the fuel system of the body and for mental and emotional stability and things like that. Vitamin C, vitamin E are antioxidants and also very helpful. We've talked about L-glutamine, an amino acid, and good quality protein with all the amino acids, but this one in particular, it seems, is also very important and can be supplemented. Many alcoholics need calcium and magnesium. Calcium and magnesium have a calming and relaxing effect, similar in some ways to what alcohol does. And so those who crave alcohol may find that if you take the calcium-magnesium supplement, you do not have the craving as much, and you can feel the relaxed part of the alcohol without needing alcohol. And finally, there are other supplements that may be very helpful, depending on body chemistry. If one is tired, for example, adrenal glandular, thyroid glandular, and such things like this can be most helpful. Now, one can either guess at what supplements would be best, and this is, you know, this works, it's not ideal, or one can do a test to try to find out which ones one needs and how much, because the amounts vary tremendously. Also, there are some people who these nutrients cannot be given in much quantity, and other ones, such as copper or acetyl or choline, inositol, and other things are very important. And we use hair mineral testing for this purpose. And the science of how to use this is called nutritional balancing science. And it was taught to me by Dr. Paul Eck, a pioneer in this work. And through the use of this mineral test, we can establish what is called one's metabolic type, and which nutrients and how much, not just minerals, but also vitamins and amino acids and other things, enzymes, digestive enzymes, and so forth, can be identified. And it's not a terribly expensive test. It's quite accurate and reliable and is most helpful. Also, we can monitor a person's progress as they replenish their body. And it takes several years of taking nutrients. It's not forever, but it takes several years to replenish nutrients that have been missing for years, because the body has buffer systems and it will not take on too much at once. Otherwise, if you drank a glass of milk that was loaded with calcium, it would kill you because you'd absorb so much calcium. So the body only absorbs a certain amount of the nutrients it's given,
And so we just have to keep giving them and giving them in the right proportions, and it takes several years, and slowly the body chemistry returns to normal. And then, as the body chemistry returns to normal, cravings for alcohol tend to decrease. So this is a several-year commitment, but frankly, in the long run, having done this myself and helped many thousands of people do it, a couple of years passes quickly, and you just get used to popping a few pills, and you're on your way. So that's a summary of the supplement concept. Most people will receive, the work will receive a multiple vitamin that gives them vitamins A, B, C, E, D, and basic minerals, and then extra zinc, often a glandular supplement like adrenal or thyroid, a digestive aid, calcium and magnesium, and perhaps another if needed. This may seem like a lot, but it isn't that many tablets, and it is necessary to replenish a wide variety of nutrients in many people. Many people have multiple deficiencies. It's almost always, it is many things. It's never just one item that's causing a tendency for alcoholism, but it's a general depletion of the body. And what happens when the body gets depleted of nutrients is they are replaced with toxic metals. And to affect the removal of the toxic metals and the replacement of the nutrients is what takes some time, but that's the key, because the toxic metals cripple the energy system, the normal energy system, and they are slowly removed through this process. Now, to save on pills and to speed up the process, I usually recommend a general mineral supplement, such as kelp, which can be added to food. Kelp is a seaweed. And there are also kelp preparations, liquid or tablets. And they can be added to food, though, and one gets a wide variety of excellent minerals. Plus, kelp contains something called alginates, chemicals which bind toxic metals and remove them, and they also bind radiation and toxic chemicals. So it's an excellent mineral supplement. In addition to that, we often recommend detoxification procedures that will help the body get rid of what it shouldn't have in there, which are toxic metals and toxic chemicals. And the current favorite is sauna therapy, because it's very good for sweating out these things, activating the skin, decongesting the internal organs, though it's helping them to function better, reactivating all the organs of elimination, which is not only the skin but the liver and the kidneys and the colon and the lungs. And it is an inexpensive therapy, and it's quite pleasant compared to many. So detoxification can also speed the process of getting well. And when this is combined with lifestyle and mild exercise, but nothing to exhaustion, not to get worn out in any way, and healthful attitudes and emotions, the correction process can move along quickly, and one is often surprised how well they start feeling. And then cravings for alcohol start to diminish, because there's no need. You don't need it to escape. You don't need it to relax. And the fuel system of the body works, the normal fuel system. You don't need the other alternative system of alcohol. Now, I would like to talk about another curious aspect of alcoholism, but one which can be very important, and that is the connection to chronic intestinal yeast infection. Yeasts are interesting organisms. They are found everywhere, and they are found in the body a little bit, but they're supposed to be kept under control in the body. They're interesting because they generate alcohol. They produce alcohol. And this is, of course, how one makes wine or beer, is one adds a yeast culture to the grapes, grape juice, or hops, and one gets beer or wine. So yeasts produce alcohol normally. Now, what we have today is an interesting situation where many people have chronic yeast overgrowth in their intestines. And they have little, essentially, it's a little alcohol factory going in the intestine. Sometimes it is more than the intestine. In the women, you can have vaginal yeast and other parts of the body. When it's severe, it can go into organs and everywhere and even be a fatal condition. And the use of antibiotics, which almost everyone has taken antibiotics, increases this yeast problem because it kills off other beneficial bacteria in the intestine, and the yeast tends to overgrow. So many people today have yeast overgrowth. Also, when the body gets out of balance and copper becomes biologically unavailable, copper is the body's natural yeast killer, the yeast tends to multiply. And what happens is that a number of people, many, are walking around generating some alcohol all the time. And the yeast feed on carbohydrates, just like they feed on grape juice if you want to make wine, or they feed on hops. They feed on all kinds of carbohydrate food. And alcoholics often eat a lot of carbohydrates, sugar and carbohydrates, and they don't realize what's happening. But even if they're not drinking, they are producing, many are producing some alcohol in their intestines. And what this is doing is continuing the process of nutritional depletion, because alcohol is alcohol, and it depletes nutrients, and it upsets the normal fuel system and the body chemistry. It damages the brain, it damages the liver, and it's going on all the time. And what we find is that it's important to address this, because if not, then even though one is not drinking alcohol, one is still producing alcohol, and to some degree. And so this is done, again, with diet, by reducing especially the simple carbohydrates, the sugars, the fruit juices, and things like this. And also, if needed, there are substances and even medicines that will kill yeast. But the best thing is to reestablish the normal flora in the intestine, and that way the yeast cannot grow, and also normal body chemistry. So there's an interesting connection with chronic mucocutaneous yeast, as they call it, chronic intestinal yeast infection, very common today, and can predispose people to alcoholism, because it is a little bit of alcohol. And we have had patients where, when we got rid of their yeast, they had withdrawal symptoms like an alcoholic, where they suddenly became very anxious and nervous and irritable and didn't like the feeling. That's because they were forced to sort of face reality. And so it's important to understand that the alcohol can not only come from outside, but from the inside as well. A final topic is what might be called spiritual development. Many people have to outgrow their illness. That's a general way to put it. You have to outgrow your problem, whatever it is, whether it's a physical, emotional issue. While sometimes simply correcting body chemistry, simply going to AA meetings or something else will work, what we find is that many people have to outgrow the whole thing. And the way you outgrow it can be called spiritual development. And that's shifting your identity. It's literally shifting your identity. It's shifting the way you see yourself. It's shifting the person that you think you are or thought you were. And taking a different stand and a different perspective, so that what you thought was important, for example, and what you thought was a flaw in your personality or in your looks or in your work, is not what you thought it was, and you don't have to get upset about it. You don't have to be so harsh on yourself and judge yourself the same way. You can shift your entire identity. You can realize that you're not simply a body, which is what is generally taught in psychology and in the country and in school, but you are much more than that. You are what we would call a spiritual being, a child of God, if you want to use those words, a creator of your own reality, rather than a victim and a pawn. You are quite a powerful being, living a temporary lifetime on this planet. In other words, you are a spiritual being having an earth experience. And this, if you really pursue this, and there are books and tapes and classes and things that can help, one can go to metaphysical churches like Unity, and there are many things that can help with this. If you pursue this, you begin to have a different perspective on what you do, on who you are, on your work, on your friends, on your family, and you begin to realize a fundamental fact, which is that you're okay. You don't have to drink to forget your problems, because ultimately you're okay. And the world is okay. The world is innocent. You don't have to be angry at people and things. There are reasons for events, for all events. There are no accidents. And you can learn to flow with things. You can learn to be happy. You can learn that the best thing you can do in life is to be the presence of love, they say, to just bless everyone. That's what you're here for. You're here to be sort of a teacher to other people, to wake yourself up, to realize there is another reality. And we do have a little book called The Real Self, which is a summary of spiritual principles. There's about, 20 little chapters, because it just presents it very quickly and succinctly, maybe too concisely, but they're there. And as you live these principles, just reading them doesn't do that much, but as you live these principles, your problems start to vaporize. Your awareness level goes up, your problems, your issues, you see them, and you allow yourself to let them go. And you realize that life is not as we were taught in school. Life is not a rat race. There is no winners and losers. It's a win-win. It is like a giant play where people cooperate. They actually cooperate. And people act out certain roles. And some of those roles are bizarre. They can act out the mean person or the victim or the selfish person. But they're acting out roles. And you can learn to detach, and you can decide what role you want. And you can act that role, and you don't have to be upset and bothered and angry and depressed all the time. And we find that the body chemistry is very important here. That is, it is difficult to have a truly detached and neutral attitude and to really work with this when your body chemistry is way off and your blood sugar is low and your chemicals are out of balance in your brain and it's sending you all sorts of messages. But as you correct your body chemistry and as you focus on a new reality, really, A Course in Miracles calls it the happy dream instead of the unhappy dream. The Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven. And it says the kingdom of heaven is right here. You don't go someplace. The kingdom of heaven is within. That's the line out of the Bible. And it also says in the Bible, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And it doesn't say in the afterlife, it says it implies right now. So as you shift your perspective and come to see yourself differently and your identity shifts, often problems, including alcoholism, leave you. You just realize you don't need it anymore. You just don't need it anymore. And for some people, this is imperative. This kind of development, this kind of perspective, this shift is absolutely crucial, because otherwise you tend to fall back into the negative thinking, into the upset quality, angry thinking, and you use up all your nutrients that way because you strain the body, and it's a struggle to sort of stay on the bandwagon, we might say. So we cannot mention enough the need in many people for taking this other step and looking carefully at your life from a spiritual perspective. Now, unfortunately, the conventional churches do not, as a rule, promote this. The conventional religions are still steeped in fear and guilt and dogma that does not help you move on. You usually are going to have to do some outside reading and outside talking to certain people who are oriented this way. We do recommend some tapes that are available from a place called the Shanti Cristo Foundation. And they are found at www.shanticristo.com. And they have a phone number where they will call you back, 877-835-6066. And these tapes go into more detail. They are supposedly channelings from Jesus. It doesn't matter if they are or not. They are quite wonderful, and the information is very good. The little book, The Real Self, is available from us. Meditation is another technique that's been used for thousands of years to shift your perception. Meditation is essentially learning to watch your mind. Instead of watching the world all the time and making your judgments, you learn to watch yourself. And as you watch yourself more and more, it's sort of like having a neutral third party there. And the neutral third party modifies all your emotions. When something comes up, it's like having a friend who's saying, oh, relax, take it easy, just look at it, don't worry about it. That's sort of the feeling that comes over you. And it's a little strange feeling, but it modifies everything. It softens everything. And it helps you to see what you're doing that creates problems and what you can do to not create them. How you can stay happy, how you can rest when you need to rest, how you can be more fulfilled in what you do, and so forth. And we have available a tape with a simple exercise on it, because not every meditation, matter of fact, most meditations do not necessarily promote this shift in identity. Because a lot of meditations are what we would call escape meditations. They teach you how to, usually you visualize a beach or something or a mountaintop and you kind of escape. And actually, there's value in that, especially when you're under extreme stress. I remember being in a dentist's chair once, and the dentist was drilling my teeth, and it was not pleasant. And so I closed my eyes, I visualized a calm beach, and I literally disappeared. And when the procedure was over, I came back, and it worked. Now the problem with that is that you don't only want to escape, you want to shift your perception. That's different than escaping. And the meditation on this tape is one that shifts perception. Another technique that is helpful for many people is the use of affirmations. Affirmations are simple statements of what you want, and you pick one and you focus on it. And you might write it in places so that you can read it many times a day. And it's important to understand how it works. What it does is it brings up thoughts that are inside your head that are opposite from the affirmation. Now this can be quite unnerving, because you might affirm that you don't want a drink, say, and all that comes up are thoughts that I need a drink. And that's okay. That was just bringing up thoughts that you didn't know you had. And eventually those will go away. So the purpose of affirmations is not to brainwash yourself. It is not to brainwash yourself. It is to make you aware, help bring up unconscious thoughts that are not helpful, unconscious negative thoughts that are in the way, or attitudes or emotions that are in the way. Another little item, there are many items that might be helpful. There's a book and a video called Life After Life, by Raymond Moody, M.D. And it's nothing more than a discussion with people who have had near-death experiences and they've been resuscitated and revived, and they come back and talk about them. And it's quite remarkable, and it's quite positive. It's extremely positive. And the people's lives were changed, and they no longer were afraid of death, and they no longer were afraid of much of anything. And they changed, often they changed the way they lived completely, just based on this experience, after they were struck by lightning or struck by a car or something. And to know these positive things that are out there is most helpful. And then to surround yourself with music, books, tapes, people who are uplifting and inspiring to you is most helpful, because that will help you to stay focused on where you're going and what you want. And at the same time, you would want to avoid anything that triggers the old reactions and the old desire to drink. Things like going to the cocktail parties where you know that people are just going to sit around and drink, or going to the bars, or going with certain friends who really have nothing better to do than to drink. And so often changing habits like this is about a new identity and letting go of the old, letting go of the familiar hangouts or the familiar habits that contributed to the problem. Two nutrition books I can recommend are The Hidden Addiction by Janice Phelps, Phelps, MD, and a book called 7 Weeks to Sobriety by Larson, I believe. If you decide that you will succeed and nothing will stop you, then you will succeed.